pandemic got us into a reflective space and made us look inward to see what we can do for the world at large. As a self-expression coach, I became a catalyst for women and started Vani, a one-on-one coaching program for women on finding their voice, to speak up, to be visible. As a storyteller, I spotted there were many ordinary people amongst us leading extraordinary lives, making a difference to the world, and they needed to be heard. Thus was born You and I with Rashmi Shetty, where amazing personal journeys with their uniqueness and individuality are showcased. A reaffirmation of the fact, open your eyes wider, the world is far more beautiful when we acknowledge the presence of both you and I. Teachers Day is a very special day, and teachers, very special people in our lives, mentors of sorts. In fact, they can be called mentors in the true sense of the term. On the eve of Teachers Day, You and I with Rashmi Shetty brings you the beautiful story of CA Arun Vaz and Dr. Vivek Mendonza, who, from being a mentor to CA Arun, has become a friend over the years. They have now been actioning multiple projects together. It's a wonderful example of how a good mentor builds up the mentee and helps him or her become the best version of themselves. Dr. Vivek started working at the age of 17 while studying and went on to find out who he can become. He gave solid life lessons in the marketplace in the real world. For 5 years during summer holidays, Diwali and Christmas, honed his skills to apply to Lawrence and Mayo as a team player. A short interview at the age of 31 with a journalist taught him to prepone retirement plans to the present and start multitasking in giving back to society and mentoring people. CA Arun Vaz, a chartered accountant by profession and a deal maker by passion, is someone who's been able to do a lot of work with some of the major corporates and has presence in Mumbai, Delhi, Goa, and Dubai. He has a team of 370 people and believes in empowering every team member. He, along with Dr. Vivek G. Mendonza, who is the General Secretary of the Federation of the Indo-Israeli Chamber of Commerce, is leading over 50 entrepreneurs, businesswomen and men to Israel in the end of October 2023 to the first week of November 2023. Listen in as they share this amazing story of how they first met, became mentor and mentee, and then went on to build a beautiful relationship that has lasted over the years. Good evening, Dr. Vivek and Arun. Such a pleasure having both of you. A special episode on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Normally, we have one guest and we focus on the uniqueness and individuality that we carry. But today, we have two of you. Amazing individuals, successful in the spaces that you have explored. And what makes both of you so unique and still making sure that you leave your individual marks is what we are going to explore in this conversation. Welcome to You and I with Rashmi Shetty.
Thank you. Thank you, Rashmi.
We'll start with you, Dr. Vivek, and we'll talk about your childhood, the influences that you've had, and what moved you from being a typical corporate person to the philanthropist and mentor that you're known today as.
So I went to one of the best rated schools and still best rated schools, Campion School at Cooperage, Mumbai, an all boys school. And for the last 10-15 years, it's winning the award. We brush shoulders with boys from top families and middle class kids, but we were never treated differently. We were always treated alike. Corporal punishment was allowed in those days between 1976 to 87. So, coming on time, well turned out in your uniform, be it in Cubs or Scouts, getting our uniform and kits completely ready was a great influence. I had also exposure with Dr. Mulkaraj Anand, who was my neighbor, and I read, learned from him the habit of speed reading. And you are, because of him and what he taught me, I am able to till today read 4 books per month, one per week. And I usually do a book review. So I get a lot of books as gifts. And my thank you to that person is after 5-7 days to send them a review back of what I thought. And that inspires them. Nari Hira, who's known as the editor of all the S magazines, Stardust, Savvy, Society, Showtime, and all the other magazines, he used to give me a couple of books. And I recollect once landing up at his corporate office, and his receptionist says, "Are you that Vivek Menon, sir?" So I was wondering what sort of reputation I have. I said, "Yes, I'm Vivek Menon, sir." She says, "Mr. Nari Hira sends your book reviews to the entire office of 250 people. So thanks for reviewing our books, which we print and publish. And so glad that you read it." So I was quite taken aback. So I believe when people give you gifts, it is not just to say a thank you, but especially if it's a book, you read it, review it and send it back, then the journey gets complete. I also got influenced with the sheriff of Mumbai, Nana Chuda Samad, who I worked very closely with from 1987 to 92, being the general secretary of Sydenham College of Commerce and Economics. And we did a massive I Love Bombay show, which had about 6 places, the Girgaum Chowpatty, it had the GS Medical College ground and a couple of other grounds where more than about 4 lakh people landed up. And it was for a Parsi Dairy Doodh Bhaiya to a businesswoman, businessman to an industrialist, all were involved. And it was the first citizen movement. Me and my team, as General Secretary of the Sydenham College, we provided 200 volunteers. And Nana was so happy that he didn't give all his industrial friends a party. He gave us 200 of us a party at the CCI, Cricket Club of India, East Lawns. With that was his gesture of saying thank you. So at the young age of 17 to 21, 22, we know typical youngsters are always chasing their first date, their first drink of beer or their first cigarette smoke. I was already exposed to well-accomplished people. In fact, I was in the car, Contessa car of Padmanabhan, who was Municipal Commissioner of Bombay, and went to the PMO's office. At the age of 18, sitting in a red light Contessa car, and someone, and we did a tree planting together. He still remembers me, and he's based in Chennai, and we correspond once in a while. So moving around with IS officers at that age taught me etiquette, discipline, time management, and so many things which I imbibed by meeting such influential people. Thank you.
Oh my God. That's a dream childhood. Having yes. The likes of Dr. Mulkar Janand, Nana the Sharif of Mumbai, and IAS officers going to the PMO. This is like something that I think till 17 people don't even know is possible for somebody. So when you look back on that part of your journey, Dr. Vivek, what is it that you have drawn from there? And how did it shape you? Because as kids, there are a lot of things that happen to us subconsciously as we soak in from the surroundings. So how has that shaped you to be who you are?
Right. So I would like to fast forward to I went for a few years to Pune to study. I did my optometry in Dhyan Prabhutani, which is a very conservative, a strong RSS run college, and then to Symbiosis. And then I returned to Mumbai to our head office of Lawrence and Mayo. And with our team and colleagues and other directors, we renovated our flagship store of Lawrence and Mayo from 2001 to we took about 7-8 months to finish it. I was being interviewed by an afternoon dispatch and courier journalist. And she asked me, says, "You're young." I was 33 at that age. And she says, "What are you going to do when you retire?" Now, you don't expect to be asked a question at the age of 33, this question. So I looked at her, and already I would say 85-90% of the interview was done. And I could see from my expression, it went pretty well. Now, this was a bolt out of the dark. And I said, "I am going to build clean toilets in India." Suddenly, I remember her name also, Indira, about, I think it was Rodericks or something like that. She put a pen down and gave me a very nasty look. So I said, "Yes, ma'am, what happened?" She says, "The country can't wait till for the next one, the age of 32 till 58, for all this to happen, you should start your social work immediately. And that was, she was the catalytic movement in my life, where the next day I started making my list of my things to do in my retirement and post-retirement. And I started, while my corporate life is going on, I have been taking out time, culling out time, and doing my training, public speaking, and mentoring. So that's how I've basically compartmentalized my life. And I tell people, when they want to deal, rush me with one project or two, three projects. I said, in school, we had 8 subjects, sometimes 11 subjects. So we've been taught for 10 years to multitask on 10, 11 projects. If you are not handling 10 or 11 projects, you're not living any life, right? So we have to multi-skill. You can't be just running after one or two projects. You should be able to have your finger at least in minimum 10 pies.
Yeah, that is true. And when did you turn mentor? She asked you what you're going to do after you retire, but when did you turn
mentor? Yes. I started speaking in a lot of MBA colleges, the huge mushrooming of MBA colleges from 2003 onwards, and on marketing. And there were not too many speakers on sales. You know, how do you do cold calling? How do you approach a subject and things like that? And most MBA students wanted to make a TVC or a strategy and things like that. So I'm a hardcore door-to-door sales guy. I used to fill forms door-to-door for an organization, part of Mudra Group called Sameer. Sameer stands for Scientific Analyzers of Market Information Research. And my girlfriend, Suhani, got me into that. And from being a girlfriend to a fiancé, she's now my better half. And so at that young age, I think in the year 93, 94, I had collected, I had made so much money that I had 14 gold coins sort of lined up like this with the amount of pocket money which I had. So that gave me the ability to, so I started speaking a lot of MBA colleges, sharing my journey, nothing bookish. I did read a few books on sales and, you know, art of influencing people. And from one college, I would get called to another college. Till date, I have addressed more than 31,350 students, faculty, parents across.
Okay. And when you get to colleges and you talk to them, you're bringing the real world while they are still in the theory world of what sales is, marketing is. So if there are two things that you commonly spoke in all colleges around sales and marketing vis-a-vis life, what would it be? How are the two connected, life, marketing, and sales?
One is that you have to be extremely well-read. You know, even in cold calling, that is where your GK comes in. Because we would go into buildings in the central business district like Narman Point or Ballard Estate Fort, now Lower Parel, Andheri East. And if you saw a corporate name, you should have known what products they deal in, or who is the CMD. And this is the era, there was not, internet came out in 94, 95. But we were already read, the habit of going through. Today, I read 7 newspapers, speed read it. But even at that age, our GK knowledge was very good. We had so little money, our pocket money was 200 rupees. We would go to advertising club award functions, you know, sneak in and beg of them that we were students, we needed a student discount. So the thirst for knowledge, that hunger to, you know, move around with who's who, listen to lectures. It would be lectures in the Indo-German Institute, land up over there, in the Alliance Francaise, but would have some talks and various programs. So land up there as a bunch of 4 or 5 students, entertained, be thrilled when there were lovely snacks after the talk. So all this put together, my message to the students would be is, first of all, be well-read, have guts. No guts, no glory. And thirdly is, know yourself. Are you an introvert? Are you an extrovert? And personality tests definitely help. Because not everyone is cut out for sales. Sales, you get a lot of rejection and you can't take it personally. And you have to get back to the crease and start batting again.
That is true. And sales is something which teaches us to think on our feet. And that's a skill we need in everyday life for the challenges that life throws today. Like you said, that was a time of no internet. So reading was prime to update yourself on your GK. But today's kids have the smartphone, which actually they're so dependent on that when it comes to any updates that happen with a phone, they're up to date on it. But when it comes to updates of companies around them and what is happening around them, they have the app, but they're not updated with what the app provides. So for a generation that really thrived on reading to a generation that has everything on its fingertips, an information overload, how would you tell them to filter what information is required and what is a waste of time?
So I think Rashmi, is the thirst for accurate knowledge. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of interns coming in our company from various management institutes, and we ground them. We have an intern policy, which we mail it to their faculty HODs in advance, which says if this 23-point policy cannot be adhered, it's better these interns don't join. Sure. So we have a code of conduct, discipline, a rigor which they have to follow. And before you visit any company or meet any personality, unless you have checked their LinkedIn page, their now Facebook, or could be Instagram, you can't do a disservice and present yourself in front of anybody without doing your due diligence and reading about them. Because then you can ask the right questions. The tonality of your questions. I remember meeting a gentleman who closed a 2,500 crore property deal. And exactly 1 week with my spiritual mentor, Mr. Gul Kriplani, we met him in his corner office at Nariman Point. And he came to the lift lobby to see us out. And I said, sir, you were fantastic in IIM Bangalore. You were part of this committee. And he says, how did you know? I said, sir, I read for 2 hours about everything what you did. He said that was ages back. But I was able to, say that towards the end. And he was so happy that I took interest in someone else's life. Taking interest in someone else's life is the best compliment.
Yeah, that's true. And talking about someone else's life, Arun has been so patiently listening to us. So before you became a chartered accountant, Arun, what was your childhood like and how did Dr. Vivek enter your life?
So we had very humble beginnings. My dad was a clerk at GKW. And when I was in the 10th standard, that time he lost his job. So we were in the company quarters. My mom was a housewife. So the situation was such that I had to start working right from the day I finished my 10th exams. So I gave my last paper and the next morning, 9 o'clock, I had taken up a job. Because mentally, I was in a situation where I thought that I have to do something to take care of my family. So I had done all kinds of job during my college days, right from taking tuitions to doing caterings and all those stuff. So I was a team player. I was good in sports. So I used to get occupied over there and also do my bit for the family. So studies took a back seat at that point in time. And so chartered accountancy exams took a little bit more of a time to clear. So I am someone who has cleared my CA exams in the 13th attempt. So
oh
I was working.
Okay.
I was working throughout, so there was not that much of a seriousness in giving my exams because I used to think that I am taking care of the family, so I am doing my part of the bit. So this is how things took shape, but God was kind enough to give me the way and I cleared my exams. And after that, I joined the platform called as Dimensions because I thought that I should also take an initiative to give back to the community. So that is where I met Dr. Vivek. And seeing him, the persona that he is, he gives without asking. Means if he just hears, if you're standing at the side, if you're talking to somebody else, and if it goes to Dr. Vivek's ear that you are in need of something, so you'll make it a point, he'll come to you, talk to you, and give it to you. Because everything is there on his mobile, and he doesn't think even twice. If there is something that he can do, he will just take that action and get it done. And he will even go to the extent to follow it up with you, so that whether it's done or not, whether the other person whose contact you are seeking, whether he has responded, he has not responded, he takes that extra effort to make you feel comfortable and get your job done. So this is one aspect which in my early days at Dimensions, I saw Dr. Vivek and it changed me in a different light altogether. So from a I was an auditor with Hiranandani, and then over a period of 2 years being with him and looking up to him, I also took the decision of coming on my own and setting up my own business. So that is how Dr. Vivek has played a very important role in my life to take up the entrepreneurial journey.
Oh, wow. Okay, Dr. Vivek, coming back to you. What did you see in Arun, who was a chartered accountant when you met him, that
Right.
you gave him that direction of being an entrepreneur? Because obviously he had a lot of resilience from his story. It's very clear if at 15 he had decided to take step back from education and help his family, it takes a lot of courage. So definitely he was brave. But what else did you notice in him to groom him the way you did?
Right. I'm not really, I can't take credit to grooming CA Arun Vaz myself. But I can tell you is, we spoke about the Bund community, which has done a phenomenal amount, not only for all the people who are there, giving them support. So we have Dimensions Global Christian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. And we had just one chapter in one, center called Vile Parle West in Mumbai. And my great friend and colleague Sylvester Rodrigues and Freddie Mendonca, who's the founder of Dimensions, we brainstormed and we said, if Mumbai, you need to cover Mumbai effectively, we need to open chapters in Thane and Powai and in other places. And that's where I started contacting people in my phone book. Freddie sir used to give us a lot of numbers, and I landed up at Basie Arun's place in Powai. He was there already with a good friend of his, Mr. Dolphy, who's today is a business partner and colleague. And we discussed and brainstormed. Seeing the enthusiasm, Sylvester comes from a background of working in Microsoft, Onward Technologies, Oracle, and top MNCs. And he was head of sales, head of sort of cracking fake software and other things like that. Recipient of a gold medal from Bill Gates. So we are moving up. I'm also a hardcore salespeople. When two salespeople meet, either they disagree or they 1 plus 1 can become 22, not 11, right? And that's what exactly happened. Arun and his team in Powai and in Thane saw our enthusiasm. That is, I'm from South Bombay, which is about nearly 30 to 32 kilometers from where Arun and his team of brothers would operate. And we will travel regularly to keep motivating and inspiring them. But in Arun, there is an inherent spark to do well. And today, he is now, it's called reverse mentoring. He is mentoring not only us, but the entire community with his collaboration and the speed at which he is going. So I think, usually people wait till they reach a certain peak. And then only they start giving back to society, but he is doing it in the running process. But he's just returned from Dubai early 3 weeks ago. He's signed up some collaborations there, may soon have an office there, and employing 300 people from being a sole entrepreneur to having 300 people and three and four verticals of business itself is inspiring. So I think it's just we talked about the coronavirus being infectious. Enthusiasm and motivation is infectious. And it's vice versa. It's not to be motivated. Arun and his team of Alien, Agnello, and Dolphy, they all motivate us of Transformatics. The name of the company is Transformatics. And such an apt name because each of them individually has been transformed. And they've come together, they are a bunch of friends. And they named the company Transformatics. So it is a success story of our Chamber of Commerce of Dimensions.
Yes.
And we hope to have many such sort of success stories across.
Okay, so a point now with Arun. Arun, what does it take when you take a journey like this? Because chartered accountancy is a really difficult journey. Not everybody who gets on it completes it also. So here you were, and the journey to CA itself can be one full episode. But post that, to create this company which has 300 in your team, What does it take to create a company, a team that is fully committed?
So we are around 370 right now.
Oh, okay.
So there are around 22 chartered accountants. So everything has gone with the flow. So we started enjoying when we started visiting dimensions, we started meeting people. So that whole process was so enjoyable, so that we started to look at people in a manner where there are synergies, where collaboration can happen. Let's not compete with each other. Let's come together and do something bigger and better. So as we speak, Dr. Vivek and myself will also be getting onto something in the coming week. We'll be signing off something and we'll be getting into a collaboration where we'll be doing something on a very large scale. So when like-minded people meet, so the energies combine and there is, as Dr. Vivek said, 1 and 1 becomes 22. I would say that it becomes not 22, it becomes 222. Because when people come together, there is magic that happens, and it can be seen with the team that we have built. And when I say this, the people who are working for us, means at least my finance team that I talk about, I interact them with very closely. And anybody who comes and tries to poach them also or tries to give them any offer, they are connected with me by mind, body and soul. So they don't look at the remuneration that they're getting, but they work with everything that they have. And it gives such a joy. It gives such a joy to be a part of that team and the world that we have created. We call it our own Transformatrix world. And it's really enjoyable to go to office every day to see the people that we have built. And it's all thanks to the platform that created the seed in us to take this step in life.
You know, this is such an idealistic space you're talking about, where the revenue doesn't matter, the remuneration doesn't matter, it's the commitment. So who do I ask this question now? Is it Dr. U, Vivek, or Arun? How do you create this space for people, once they get on into this journey, to have that complete trust? Because a good team is all about complete trust. And how do you build that trust? How do you make sure you nurture? 370 is a big number, but how do you make sure that everyone's on the same cart, everyone's on the same journey, and everyone is with the similar attitude? I won't say absolutely same, but at least majorly with a similar attitude. How do you build?
I would just like to go back to the time when Dr. Vivek started interacting with us. So in those initial days, Dr. Vivek gave us a lot of time. Knowingly, unknowingly, whether he's interacting with me or somebody else, Dr. Vivek, Mr. Sylvester, Avinash, Freddy sir, all of these people who had done what they have done in life and achieved everything, they spent a lot of time with us. And they gave us a pathway unknowingly that what is it that we should be doing in our lives. So these little aspects I have inculcated in my company, wherein I spend a lot of time with the people that I have. If any problem, it's an open door policy where if they have any problem from 10 to 6:30, they can see a father in me, they can see a mother in me, they can see a brother in me, a friend in me, whatever they want to see. And if there is anything, they can come right up to me and talk to me. So that is something which has created a bond between us where they're not scared of me. So if I don't go to office for 2 or 3 days, they start missing me. I take a lot of pride in that feeling that my people who are there with me take a lot of joy in me being in the office, which doesn't happen usually with people who lead the company. People try to act as if they're working. So if three or four of them are sitting at a corner and talking to each other, if I enter also, they'll continue to do that. They will not stop that and start working or pretend as if they're doing something. So that is a kind of culture which we have built unknowingly.
So you say unknowingly, Arun, but yeah. I want to interrupt you. I want to ask you, what is it that Dr. Vivek and the others you mentioned helped you understand right at the beginning? They did it unknowingly, but obviously you are aware of it. Now, looking back at least, what was it that they said is a must have?
So I can put it in this way, like Dimension was like also a organization which was run in a very beautiful manner. So whole thing was documented, processed, the processes and all were defined. There were people taking up responsibility. When there were challenges, there were people who were pitching in with whatever that has to be filled in. So all these little aspects were for us to see and inculcate in our organization. When we started, how to overcome challenges, like how to communicate with each other, like four of us coming together, that gave us a lot of brainstorming. So we used to talk to each other on a daily basis. So whatever, before we could get into something, there was a lot of brainstorming that used to happen. So we were already in a very comfortable position before we could start something. As an individual, what happens? You get into something and after a point in time, you realize ki, are, this should not have been done in this manner. So when you have three, four brains together and all are in sync, so it creates magic.
That is true. And Dr. Vivek, do you want to add anything to how this magic gets created?
So, Rashmi, you know, I'm part of the marketing team at Lawrence & Mayo. We have 870 people and having an attrition rate of 0.75 itself is a world record. Whether, you know, in the retail and we have run 8 verticals of business. So, in the engineering space and the retail space and medical products, to have below 12 and 14% attrition itself is great. So basically being really close to your team and you know, spending time with them. I recollect with the dimensions also, and when my first visit to Arun's office, when Sylvester and I landed up, I recollect that because, you know, when going up, this is a flashback of more than 12, 14 years ago. We landed up at about 2:30, quarter to 3 in the afternoon. And we saw a nice office. It was maybe 600, 800 square feet office. And we said, listen, guys, we are hungry. We need something to eat. Now, it took them about, I would say, 10 or 12 minutes. But some really good sandwiches came, vegetable sandwiches and everything. So breaking bread with your team, with your people is most important. We were so comfortable that we were visiting the office for the first time. We didn't carry a bouquet of flowers or chocolates or a cake or something, but we demanded food for ourselves. And a message to the audience, and Rashmi, you also coach a lot of people, is people are become email tigers, just sending emails and proposals. They are not converting to business. Mumbai is such a crowded city. There are at least not less than 42 localities, just like how Bangalore is a huge circular city. Mumbai is a north-south direction city. We go area-wise. And if we are in one particular area, we just ping people. Say, I'm in your area. Can I drop by for a cup of tea or a glass of water? And people say, but don't say no. Right? So this humbleness, and this, I think, was definitely an influencer. And I watch Arun and his team now. They're making at least 7 to 8 visits per day. As a chart accountant, he could be sitting, he could be asking for the papers on his laptop. And I'm sure he's doing that. Just a few days ago was filing of income tax last day. 3 days before I was with Arun, he had finished 800 people's filing of their personal tax. 800. And I have a lot of chart accountant friends. They was burning the midnight oil in the office till 11:30. 3 days prior, he was relaxing and networking and socializing. So that's being highly disciplined, organized, and systematic. And you can't get anything in life if you stay at home or stay within your office. So in our company, we have a tagline that says, don't be a cabin director or a cabin manager. Move out and get the business.
This is very beautifully summed up. Especially these nuggets of humility, discipline, getting things organized and making sure that you're out there breaking bread with your team. And that's how you build these beautiful relationships. So true. So what do you think is lacking today in today's world? Because there are many layoffs happening. There are many startups that are shutting shop. Things are not as good as they were a few years ago. Yes, people had over-recruited, and suddenly now people realize that, okay, wrong time, wrong decision. Now we have to lay off people. The problem is not with the ones who take the decision to lay off. It's the ones who get laid off. And many a time, it's not that they are not good. It's just that the circumstance is not really good to them. So both of you are now in a space of leadership, mentorship, where you're talking to people around you. What would you talk to that small crowd of people who are laid off and disappointed and have their EMIs to pay as well? How can they find the entrepreneur within? Because Arun, I think that's such a wonderful space Dr. Vivek has found in you, that spot in you, and you took it to the next level of multiplying it to 370 people as a team. So what is it that entrepreneurs need? And is everyone cut out to be an entrepreneur?
See, I would like to see, once you have that belief, once you have that belief, you need just one more person to add on to that belief for you to achieve whatever you want to achieve. So in our case, we had Dr. Vivek and a bunch of more people along with Dr. Vivek who believed in us. So like that, you have to find, if there is something that is going on in your mind and you want to start something, so you have to find a bunch of people who will be there to talk to you, to guide you, to mentor you, and make you understand whether this is the right thing for you or not. Because everybody, given a choice, would like to be an entrepreneur. But whether you are cut for becoming one is something that you have to analyze and understand from people around you. Because it is not an easy job. What I can see, Dr. Vivek also travels. If he's there in the morning somewhere, he's there in the evening somewhere else. He doesn't say no to anything. He doesn't say no to business. He's ready to travel. Even I am the same. I am ready for work, anything and everything. You have time for everything. But when people start making excuses that I might not be able good at this, I might not be good at that, I might not be successful in this, because the results will follow. But the decisions which you have to take, because the only thing that a entrepreneur has to do is to take decisions. So whether I should be starting this, or if I keep deliberating and if I keep analyzing and overthinking, so nothing will happen. So we just came together and with faith, we just took the leap. We did all our background, whatever we had to do, but we took the faith. We took decisions when it mattered. So that is why whatever we are today, it has taken a beautiful shape. And one more thing, that we didn't lay off even a single person during the COVID. We paid everybody whatever was due to them. And there were also people that we had hired and we had not seen. Means we hired a lot of people in February. So we paid them also, whom we have not seen at all. But God has been kind, and even the people around us have been very supportive. So that is something that once you believe in yourself and there are people who start accepting that belief, then magic happens and nothing, you don't have to look behind at all. There's only one way to look, is ahead and upwards.
Yes. So Dr. Vivek, what will your inputs be? Is everyone cut out?
Rashmi, not everyone is cut out to be an entrepreneur. It's because of their own inhibitions, really. The room you're sitting in Bangalore, is got 10,000 crores floating in it. Arun has got 10,000 crores. I have got 10,000. It is, you have to just reach up and grab that opportunity. My inspiration is from the Cat family. In fact, the brand I work with, part of the Lawrence and Muir group, is Lynx, but I would take a simple cat. A cat has got 9 lives. In today's corporate world, we are now starting a cybersecurity division within the Lynx Lawrence Muir division. So if you are not able to transform yourself 8 or 9 times in 8 or 9 skills, you are going to become redundant. The minute you say that this is my qualification, paper qualification, and I'm going to be this, I'm going to be a copywriter or visualizer or only in marketing, you should be ready to and prepared to do anything and everything as long as it is ethical, right? So the cat is the inspiration. 9 lives means 9 skills from the age of 21 or 19 or 18, or as early as Arun started at the age of 15 till I would say 80, 85, you should be ready to change or transform to 9 skills. Once you are doing that, there is always a demand and a supply. I've seen young boys walking pets who are walking in our locality 40 and 60 dogs and earning a decent amount of money. I know of teams from HSBC who saw during they became entrepreneurs, and HSBC was their first client. So there is always a demand and a solution, or demand and a supply. And the minute you spot a demand, but you can't stick with that demand. Lawrence and Muir has been known as a spectacle company. We are into drones since the last 6.5 years. We're moving into cybersecurity. So we are constantly changing and evolving, right? And I've seen students who studied biotechnology, looking at Kiran Mazumdar, sure, and never got those top jobs. And they got the red slips. And, you know, today, if IT is not really, there is so much of a retrenchment which is there, you need cybersecurity. There's the acute shortage of talent, acute shortage, right? The CISOs are complaining they're not getting the right men and women, or the boys and girls, or there's so much of cyber crime taking place, and they want talented people. So in anything you take up, it should be with passion. Like I'm learning, I'm watching videos on cybersecurity. I don't know even how to spell cybersecurity, but every day my team, my support team sends me a couple of videos, 5 videos every day on WhatsApp. And in my spare time, instead of spending on Netflix and Amazon, I watch those videos repeatedly just to understand the nuances of that new subject, which I don't know anything about.
Okay. So another thing that many of the youngsters, now as a visiting faculty to colleges, I interact with a lot of these students who are in their MBAs. And I notice that they don't go that extra mile to read up and update themselves. Even a simple skill, though it is simple, it still needs time, and that is communication. It is one skill that if you constantly polish and upgrade yourself on, you can really go places. But most of them don't understand that. And that is one skill that I have noticed. In the 9 skills that you were talking about, Dr. Vivek, what are 3 of those must-have skills for any profession?
I think you're very right. I correct a lot of the interns. In fact, besides 2 of my biological children, my wife and I have become parents to 10 more children. And so we have got totally 9 girls and 3 boys. That's a huge team. And we don't preach to them. We don't tell them, because this generation of Z cannot be told. But communication. So when leaving the house, it's not I'm going, but where are you going? Who are you meeting? Is it for college? How long you'll be? So the simples, bye, but you know, hi. And these are very limiting words. And the minute the parents are also responsible, they should ask questions in a nice manner and put themselves across. So the 3 skills, I think one is parents are also providing too much of a safety net, where there is already food on the table, there's a decent house to stay. Fire in the belly is definitely missing. So putting the children out in the deep ocean and letting them swim. My eldest son, Jay, worked for 60 events and has slept on a cardboard box. And coincidentally, my wife was in that same 5-star hotel. And she said, my son is around. And she walked around the venue with another lady. And she saw our son sleeping on a cardboard box, because he had put in a very long shift of 48 hours continuously on his feet. So, you know, willing to accept that. A typical mother would have rushed and things like that. And, you know, she knew that he was comfortable in his space. So it's not the problem with Generation Z. Parents need to demand communication, detailed communication. And the minute children and youngsters have a fire in the belly, communicate well, they're very well read. They have got some skills which we don't have, who are born in the 70s, 80s. And they are very fast with gadgets. You know, our phone book doesn't come with a user's manual anymore. They are able to decipher a gadget very fast. So we need to learn from them. And the minute you have that process, it's a two-way street. Then there's a friendship. I think the word parenting is also outdated, Rashmi. Today, yeah, it's all about friendship and camaraderie. That's the only way things can evolve.
Yeah, recently somebody in the AI space, Arun, this question is for you, was telling me that today's generation learns to swipe before they even learn to speak. So when it comes to the people that you mentor and the youngsters in your team, what are some of the traits that you notice in today's youngsters which helps them do well or perform however they do?
So today's youngsters, now they come with a lot of things. That if they cleared a course and if they have a degree, they feel that they are privileged and they should be starting with something. So which we try to break. We say that if you are a chartered accountant or you have any qualified degree, so you have to keep that crown at home. Because we are a solution providing company. You might be doing anything, means whatever the client requires. Now we have become so comfortable, like some clients ask us to let them know which car to buy. We are not experts in that, but they honor our opinion. They want our opinion. So for the youngsters of today, one thing like if in the growing up years, if parents can think of making them, they should not have any fear, they should not have any greed, and they should take practical decisions. If these three things they can inculcate in their children in their growing up years, so there is only one thing that will happen with their children is success. Because when you have these three things, that you're not fearful, you're not greedy, and you take practical decisions, you're not emotional, you don't get carried away by things around you, so then there is only one thing that will be coming to you is success. So this is something that I would like to share to the children of today. And especially not children, but their parents. So that the grooming, and it becomes very, to add to what Dr. Vivek said, the grooming becomes a very natural process to come into the real world whenever they are ready.
So now the question to both of you. The pandemic was something that most of us alive are seeing for the first time. So parents were as shocked as children were. And each of us had our own personal lessons from the pandemic. This podcast was also born then, and that's when the reflection told me that each one of us needs to go inward to find out what is unique about us. And that individuality, if we tap into, that's where we kind of move in a direction which can be meaningful to somebody else. So it's not about you alone. That little virus showed us that the world is one and we are connected. What were your takeaways from the pandemic? Arun, it can be Arun first or Dr. Vivek. Which of you would go first?
Arun, so one of the most important things that I learned from the pandemic is to stay connected, to have that real touch and feel of people. So after that, I make it a point that I speak to 5 people in a day just to check on them. So that is something that I do on a regular basis. Sometimes repeated, some old people who are there, not connected with me, but I speak to them. So they have also got, we have actually got into a habit of speaking to each other. So people look forward to my calls. And these are just random calls and just to inquire upon the well-being of people and just to check upon what is happening without any agenda, no business and no nothing else. Just to check on people, how they are doing, so that, and it feels good. People, these simple things have been missing. So we have inculcated all those things, and I do it on a regular basis. So it's become a very enjoyable process now. And the network has increased because of that. People look forward to your calls and people wait for your calls. So there is a long gap between the calls that you have made. So people say that you have not called for a long time. So all these are very good feelings to have.
And that statement is genuine now when they say you haven't called for a long time. Not
yes.
A statement that they just say for the heck of it.
Yes.
True, true. Beautiful. And Dr. Vivek, what has shifted for
yes.
you?
So pandemic was a time where two, three major things happened. One is that I live with my parents. You saw my dad. He's going to be 91 soon. We all live in a joint family together. My mom's also around. And my wife decided to do a lot of social work and go out and distribute daily essentials. So wearing those masks and gloves, she would pack her daily essentials and go out. And she would immediately come back and have a bath because she didn't want to infect our parents. I don't say my parents, I say our parents. And that was good. What I also saw was something very beautiful. It was the 7 people where we gave them the Karamveer Puraskar. In fact, Arun is also a recipient of an NGO from New Delhi, started by Jerry Almeida, where we gave 7 people. And for me, all these communal forces which are here just now are very disturbing, because most of these people who got awarded the Karamveer Puraskar are from the minority community, are from the Muslim community, and they distributed over 5,000 meals in a day throughout the entire 2.5 years of pandemic. And I made sure, in fact, we have to submit some more details, they will get a physical Karamveer Puraskar. For me, my life was a little chaotic. I was working on very large government orders, and the trust and belief that the collector of a few districts were able to give our company, just on our reputation, a 2.43 crore order with just minimum paperwork, because they wanted those oxygen generator machines, and being an engineering company, things like that. So I was always caught in a lot of Zoom calls and things like that. And I think 100 years from now, we will not be around, and the generations will look at this pandemic with, I think they will look at it with awe, with wonder why so many million people passed away. And it was such a simple virus. We are sending people to Mars and the moon as of yesterday and getting photographs from there, but we're not able to solve this. So that's really a big question. And today, our Honorable Prime Minister's message that as G20, we need to be better prepared for any medical emergency, not just as a country. We are 213 countries in the world, but be ready as an entire race. Each human life is very precious, and every human life is lost cause emotional devastation for a family. You know, they take years to recover emotionally, financially, mentally from it. So I think this pandemic taught us really for business, it was tough. We had also lots of huge losses. We as directors took a 70% pay cut, but none of our office boys or drivers had any pay cut. And I think we are all survivors today. The first thing we say, as you rightly said, we are survivors today. We survived it. And 100 years from now, people will definitely look at this generation. And we will mourn the people we lost near and dear ones. And we will honor the people who survived it.
Yeah. And it taught us one of the biggest skills of understanding, like Arun said, making sure that relationships are deep. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, just that how are you, those three words had a more deeper meaning than a casual hello. And everyone turned out to be genuinely in connect with the human within. Like it seemed like the pandemic shook most of us from human doings to human beings. And that has in a lot of ways altered the way people look at each other. You both share such a beautiful relationship. It is amazing to see the respect and love and admiration that you have. A mentor to a mentee and reverse mentoring and then spreading the word, Arun, to the people that you come in touch with. This is so amazing. And I know there are a lot of life lessons that you've taken from the journeys that you individually had. But the last question in this conversation normally is the three life lessons. So three primary life lessons. So in today's conversation, there'll be six. Three from you, Arun, and three from you, Dr. Vivek. Whichever order, you can just share. What are those three primary life lessons that you hold closest to your heart?
Arun, you want me to go first? Yeah. So basically, ours comes from a family business, and I've watched huge amount of documentaries on British castles, maybe going to 5,000 years on Netflix. And I've recently finished a set of documentaries on Richard Attenborough's, Richard Attenborough on the animal planet and animal kingdom. And the minute an animal strays, it could be a young cub, or it could be an elderly from the pack, it is pounced by a tiger or a cheetah or a lion. So the human lesson is to be always closely bonded as family and as business. There are a lot of companies where the directors are not family members, but I recently interviewed a company where directors come from two different backgrounds, but they have been so well bonded doing business ethically and together for so many decades. And that's beautiful. So that is one life lesson. The second thing is that you've got just this one life. So live it really great. Be unstoppable. You know, a lot of us have inhibitions and a lot of insecurities. But I forgot to mention that I, at this age of 52, I've got 17 mentors. I've got an emotional mentor, a spiritual mentor, a marketing mentor, a finance. I've lost only two mentors in this time of 31 years of corporate life. And I just go and sit with them. And I also have learned from Arun is no reason, no purpose, just booking time with people and sitting down and having casual conversations. And such beautiful things come back. You know, I've just returned from an ashram where there's 16 acres in Saswat, outskirts of Pune, totally a vegan and vegetarian things. And my mentor over there, Captain Eunice Shipchandler, he says, I asked him, what is the definition of life? And without even a moment of hesitation, he says, life is just time pass. You have to just enjoy it. If you're not enjoying it, if it is a burden or it's cumbersome, then it's not life. You're not living then. You have to be fulfilled internally. And it appears very frivolous, the word time pass, because you know we always want to be busy bodies. I learned something from you, Rashmi. We have been human doings, not human beings. And so I just picked that up from you 3 minutes ago. So I think pandemic really taught us to pause and reflect. PR is not public relations, but pause and reflect. And really is what is our purpose in life? No, are we going to touch, move and inspire lives really genuinely, not just to get some brownie points and close some order and to give and take from people, but to really live a meaningful life. So that's my message.
Arun?
Look out for opportunities. Keep looking out for opportunities because there is one around you everywhere. Work with integrity and always be a solution provider because whenever somebody comes with a problem to you, just take that problem to be your problem. So it becomes very easy to find a solution for that person. So what we have a motto in our organization, when somebody's problem becomes our problem, we have minimum two solutions for the other person to choose from. So it is not that we won't have a solution, but at least two solutions will be on the table for you to choose from. And also have a very good bonding with the people who are with you because you can't do anything alone. And to sum it up, everybody needs a Dr. Vivek in their life because the power that Dr. Vivek carries within himself, he is himself unaware. I have told this to him just maybe 1 month or 2 months back because the power that he carries is amazing. And he himself doesn't realize what he can in the natural course of the conversation that you have with him or the time that you spend with him. There is so much of learning. Every second or every minute that you spend with him, there is a lot of learning because he is worldly wise. He has met so many people and he's always about giving. That is, he doesn't even blink an eyelid. Means before, if you ask something, he will just, if even during the course of the interview, if you ask him something or chat, he will just first figure and give that to you and then continue with the interview. So that is the kind of person Dr. Vivek is. So we are very lucky to have people like him around us for youngsters like us to walk that path. And going forward, we would also like to be that kind of a person to the people who are there to follow after us. So that is something that we will look up to. And hopefully there will be, try to make the world a better place with the little that we have around us.
What a beautiful tribute to you, Dr. Vivek. It's amazing that at the end of the conversation, if you have Arun say this, that we need a Dr. Vivek and a Dr. Vivek around us will make a difference for the practical wisdom that you carry. Every moment with you is amazing. This, I think, is a mentor's dream feedback and you've got it from Arun. Arun, for the way you think, for the way you express and the way you're nurturing your team, the day won't be far when you will not listen to the similar feedback from people around you, I'm sure. It's amazing to have people like you on the planet. And everywhere you go, when you create dreams like this, make dreams come true, help people dream and help them grow, I think the world definitely is a wonderful place. And both of you are doing exactly that. Honored to have had you on You and I with Rashmi Shetty. This is such a beautiful conversation.
Thank you so much. The pleasure was all ours.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Vivek.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thank you.
With that, we come to the end of this weekly quest of You and I with Rashmi Shetty. Do let us know if you know people who make the world beautiful. Write in to rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. That is rashmi.thethirdeye@gmail.com. Come, let's explore this amazing world together, both you and I.